This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Okay, I spent my American dollars, my freedom dollars that I worked on my job to get, and I'm going to play the darn thing.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
I'm Jay Schlansky, and I am joined by Evan Bolitz.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. So it's been, what, 2 weeks? Since
for a minute there, I almost thought you were going to say Fifth Trooper podcast when you were rolling up for it, so I was ready to see if you changed something on the fly without telling me. I had that pause. Welcome to the pause. And I'm like, oh, no.
I just got so much going on. I just don't know.
That's fair. I'm like, sorry. I guess I'll get out of here.
I don't think I'm used to doing this in the middle of a day. So this is
there is sunlight outside.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is all just overhead light.
So for those of you listening, we're actually doing this, Monday? We're doing this Monday, whatever, New Year's Eve during the day. It's about 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Sure is.
So it's been 2 weeks since you've heard us live. We did our holiday special. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was fun for us.
Yeah.
So I hope it was fun for you guys too.
Content's content.
Content is content. Yes.
So holiday themed content's even better than normal themed content.
Yes. That is true. I think we talked about this for Halloween too, right? Like we love the Halloween episode as well.
Your Halloween intro did kind of knock it out of the park.
Yeah, sorry I didn't do that for the Christmas one.
See what happens when you get to the
or
top,
holiday
you just
one,
let it
sorry.
Slide right down.
Yeah, I thought just bringing Notorious Scoundrels on was enough to elevate the podcast, but I guess not. Not for Evan, anyways.
I can't do any of that, so I'm just like, yeah, sucker, why isn't, I'll just be that dude on the internet.
So let's see, so for those of you watching on YouTube, we've kind of changed our studio area a little bit, so there's some different stuff there, nothing big. I'm just trying to streamline for the new year. 2019 is going to be big for us.
Yeah.
I feel it in my bones.
All the bones.
All of the bones,
even
yes.
the toe bones.
So that's that. Let's see, what else is going on? We started, so the Yavin Team League, we're in round two now. I think we were getting ready for round two when we were heading into the holiday episode.
I believe so.
And so we're firmly in round two. That goes through the eighth. That, if you get a chance, you should definitely check it out. Endless, he streams as many as he can up on Twitch. And I know Talk Polite does as well. So if you get a chance, check it out. Get on the Legion Discord. The Yavin Team League has its own section, and you can see when games are streamed and stuff. I had mine streamed this past week. Ended up winning that one. We went to time. I just ended up, at some point I realized how much time was left, and I just ended up playing to the clock and just going, okay. We were playing key positions.
Yeah.
We were playing
intercept the transmissions.
Yes, wait, was that the one?
Capture supply.
No, I think transmissions. Is that the one?
2, 4, and 6.
Yes,
yep.
Thank you. Not key positions. Woof. Okay. It's been a rough holiday, everybody. I'm just exhausted. Yes, intercept the transmissions. Sorry about that. And so I was watching the clock. I think we were in round two. Mm-hmm. It just, the round one and round two took a long time. We had a lot of activations, a lot of decisions needed to be made, and we started running up against the clock. I knew it was a scoring round, and so I basically just bum-rushed the middle and just tried to annihilate anything of his that even came close.
You know, it's funny, because I was looking at the clock on Tabletop Simulator, because I haven't got to play my season 2 game yet. Not season 2, turn 2.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it says like 2.5 hours is on the clock. I'm like, that seems like way too much.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's really not. Because it's not even that people are slow playing. It's just like moving a model. Then you got to move all the models around. And then you got to like, it's just double the time, right? Like it's.
Yeah, and then measuring range
isn't
kind of as easy as it is in IRL. And then also like. Sometimes you'll get like some weird clipping issues because it is a computer game, right? So you'll get some weird clipping issues and you're trying to like manipulate it. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes TTS gets hung up a little bit because there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love it though. Like, I've gotten so many games in since.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, just trying to get ready for Vegas. Really hoping to get that. Not hoping. Hoping's the wrong word. I am training and there practicing to get that Adepticon invite.
There you go. Yeah, I'd like to. We need to play some in IRL, if you will, games in soon.
Yeah.
I think I might. I want to play my list one more time. Just to really see if it's the list.
Yep.
And then if not, I might go to like a Veer's like 11 activation, just trooper list.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about when we went out to lunch, everybody. He bought me a spicy chicken sandwich. It was delish.
From a nondescript.
Yeah. From
location.
Everywhere has those. It can be anywhere.
But if they want to be descript, they can go ahead and sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. I actually think like, so I bought two ATSDs. So mm-hmm. I was determined to play two ATSDs because that's just, I'm going to do it. I paid money. They're in there. But honestly, one with nothing, just walking up, kicking some dudes and shooting at some others, seems okay. Like,
yeah,
really doesn't seem, because that's, if you look at it, all the dice you throw in a turn, like, so if you, let's say you start in contact with troops, or even if you move in contact, Veers, let's say, gives him a name beforehand, even if he doesn't. So you move up, you've got four red dice going at troops in front of you, and then two red dice, two black dice, two white dice going at something else, range 1 to 4. That's a lot of dice just to throw.
It is. I think unlike the Airspeeder, the ATST definitely has a place in the game the way it's played now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, not to give too much away, but Evan has a really, I think, decent list with enough activations and enough going on that he's not, I think it's an everyman list with an ATST, which I think is crazy.
I just want it. I like the look of it on the table. Same thing, like, as much as I love the Airspeeder on the table, it's not like when you go to LVO or a big tournament, you can look as good as you want on the bottom tables, I suppose, but I want to be at the top tables, right?
Yeah.
But at our local comic shop, like, I like them because people come and be like, hey, cool ATST.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, it's... And that's how you start that open conversation about, hey, I'm trying to get people into this game, not because I'm shilling or repping for them, but I really want more people to play with. So I'm like, hey man, this is Star Wars Legion.
Right.
It's cool. Look, you can play ATSTs, like Stormtroopers or Darth Vader, right? Like, and that gets people into it.
Well, yeah. What was that last time we were playing at the store? I think it was the tournament, right? And I was playing Palpatine, and that guy, that just random guy came up to us. He's like, do they have Palpatine? And I'm like, yeah, I'm playing him right now. He's like, oh my God, it looks just like him.
His like thing was like, he had like a get out clause in his first statement. He's like, well, he's like, what is it? Like, oh, it's Star Wars Legion. You know, he's like, I'll only play if Palpatine's in it. And then you like pulled like a little curtain from the back to see Palpatine. He's like, oh no. Right. He's like, I've been got.
Yeah.
But, that was cool. So like, that's how you get people in though, right? Like you just got to play in stores and then get that. That's how our X-Wing group grew.
That's how and
stores, man.
You know, I've seen some stuff on Facebook, the Facebook group talking about, hey, there's only 10 people playing. Like, when is this going to grow? And I think LJ, Talk Polite might have responded and was like, hey, man, it's the first year.
Yeah, no.
Like, we literally have 60 people at LVO and we're going to have another 60 at Adepticon. Like,
that's
huge. That's like, huge people religion, are traveling for this game.
Yeah. It's, you know, like, X-Wing started with nothing. It took four or five, like, six waves before people really started taking it, like, seriously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, always look at, it's not Rune Wars. You know, like, Rune Wars came out, it has four factions, like, almost immediately, and somebody must play it somewhere.
Right, I mean, I want to, just everybody take this into account. This is the first year.
Yeah.
They had a tournament at Gen Con.
Yep.
They had 3 days of tournaments at Nova.
Yep.
I think that's unheard of for a game in its first year to be this competitive already. Like, that's huge.
I think it's fine. Like, again, the problem is you compare it to, like, immediately, as soon as this game came out, it was compared to, like, 40K.
Well, like, because it's a relative of 40K,
It is. But, like, 40K has had how many years to be around?
Well, okay, like, so, it, like, if you, not just 40K, but Warhammer's had how many years, right? Because it started fantasy, so, like...
How many years have you had that build-up? And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'll play with more factions. I'm like, that's cool.
Right.
Like, absolutely. That's fine. That's 100% legit. And, like, I want to push around Droidicas. I want to push around Clone Troopers. Yeah. Like, I do. But it's, Yeah, 40K's got like 8 factions or 9, 12, 13 factions.
But they're to a point where it's too much now.
It's a ton, but they've have that because they've been out for so long. Like, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, anytime I go to talk to a store owner, like, people buy it. They just don't come in to play it. And so it's not lack of sales. It's just, I don't know, like, it's just tabletop mostly. And you know what? If the game has its, if the communities end up getting separated by, like, the competitive and then, like, the tabletop guys, hey, people are buying it. That means they'll keep making it. People are having fun with it. End of the day, okay, like,
well, so here's where I think the difference is, and I see this, and I think we're all guilty of this, right? Like, okay, so let's look at KeyForge and why KeyForge or Magic or any of these games are so popular. Is KeyForge so popular because I can come with a deck of cards, maybe some of my tokens, and just play?
Yep.
I have a little box that's the size of my fist or the size of a water bottle. And I can just play, and that's it. Legion is a little bit more involved. The games are a little bit longer. And I think it's a harder sell for normal people who aren't as into gaming as we are. But also, I think that there is, and we talked about this on the holiday special, that there's nothing like on a local circuit sort of way that's convincing people to make those sacrifices and make that effort to come out and play.
Oh, sure. I mean, the bonus to KeyForge is a $10 buy-in.
Oh, God.
Right? Like, it's just, like, I bought a deck a couple weeks ago. I realized I hadn't even opened it on the plastic yet. I'm just like, oh, KeyForge deck. Buy. 4 Niffle Apes and 2 Niffle Queens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what else is in the deck. I've got my time to go give you the banana slam. I think I'll call it. But with, you know, Legion's a game you really got to get a buddy to go in with, and that decreases the cost so much. So,
yeah.
Okay, let's talk. Store retail, $80 for a core kit. 2 core kits and you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately, you got to deck everything out, but you're in, right? You could go to a 800-point army and put down stuff to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you got to buy an extra troop. Maybe you got to buy an extra something, but you're in. So between 2 people, that's $80. You split it down the thing.
Yeah.
That's not even counting a sale. Catch a store on like a 20% off sale. Catch an Amazon sale. Those go to 60.
I would argue if you're in that store buying and you're looking at buying Legion, that you're a person that's already bought into board games or some other type of games. So even at $160, like how many board games have you kickstarted that have been about $160?
Oh, true. I mean, again, that's a valid point. Especially that's a super low buy-in for a miniatures game. But if you're already skeptical, losing 80 and not liking it, if you're kind of on that, well, I play enough miniature games, mm-hmm. isn't as bad as losing 160 and then having I was just going like if you want a miniatures game that you get that tabletop tactical feel where you get to make your train mm-hmm. and all that stuff, this is like besides some other games that we'll talk about some other time, it's for a name brand game, it's the cheapest you're gonna get.
Yeah, I agree. So but okay, so a couple, let's call them house cleaning items. So I know you've heard us talk a lot about KeyForge on this podcast. For those of you that don't know, we actually run another podcast called Crunch and Chaos. You can find it on thefifthtrooper.com. And right now we only have 2 episodes up, but we have plans right now to start doing this weekly. So I'll have a second podcast going with, if you guys remember, Nick from early days of the Fifth Trooper podcast, he's huge into KeyForge, so he'll be on there talking with me. We'll have Evan on from time to time. Evan's on the first couple, and when Evan can make it, we'll have him on too. But we're really going to be using that platform, not just for KeyForge. Like right now, we're focused heavy on KeyForge, but also just from a gaming podcast perspective, talk about other gamings. One of the topics, just to tease a little bit, so I actually created a board game and tried to get it kickstarted, and the Kickstarter failed. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I've been working silently on in the background. And so, you know, I want to talk about that, like the failure and like lessons learned from that. Yeah. And so, you know, I think Evan and I actually were just talking about it before we started, but, you know, we have some plans for 2019 to expand beyond just the Legion, the 2 Legion podcasts, this one and Notorious Scoundrels, to help, you know, bring you guys more content outside of Legion. Now, we do talk from time to time about other games on this podcast briefly, but the idea would be to leave this podcast and Notorious Scoundrel strictly Legion.
Yeah.
and then expand, because as much as we love Legion and as much as we're invested, it's not the only game we play. I'm sure you guys are all the same out there too.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, you hear me talk about X-Wing all the time, even on this. Unfortunately, it's just my reference point that I can use a lot of that, and it's Fancy Flight.
So no, it makes sense. Yeah.
But like, I'd like to do one. There's only one podcast for Warhammer Underworlds.
Yeah.
That's the Nightfall and Shadespire. Like, great game, but no one really talks about it. Again, if you have ideas, let us know. Because we're looking for, like, you know, we have our own ideas what we want to do. But yeah, maybe if there's an outcry for, like, hey, we want to know Rune Wars, I just made fun of. They're like, you know, there's a big community for that. Is anybody playing it? And like, we are now, I guess, right? Like, right. It's sure, like, yeah, let's, I've got two core sets for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even touch, right?
So for those of you listening, this is a great segue. Thanks, Evan. That was unplanned, everyone.
Got it.
You nailed it. So we're going to throw up, there's a couple different questions we wanted to ask you as an audience. It's going to be on the website on thefifthtrooper.com/poll. And the first one is going to be what we were just talking about. We'll have a couple like content ideas up there, and you guys can vote and let us know what you want to hear, what you want to hear us talk about. And what we're going to do is, because we appreciate your time, once the poll closes, we'll pick a random person that entered into the poll and chose something, and we're going to send you a Fifth Trooper t-shirt. So that's the one. The second poll, now this one I do want to take a little bit of time on. A number of people out there in this world have asked us if we're going to open up a Patreon. And if I'm being quite honest with everyone, and I've said this before, it's not an idea that I personally enjoy. And it's not that I don't, like, I support stuff on Patreon, and I understand it. I just don't want you as a listener to feel like, you know, I don't know your financial situations out there, and I'm sure we're all varied, right? But I want the guy that's, like, working at Walmart or Burger King, like, making minimum wage, just enjoying this podcast on his way to work. I don't want you to feel like you're obligated to support us. We don't need the support to continue the podcast. That's not what this is about.
It would help us do more, but we don't need it.
Correct.
Yep.
Right. The status as the podcast is right now, we're fine.
Yep.
We got fine jobs. We do fine. Like, that's not the point of that. It would be more to, if we were going to do something like that, it would be more to like help us produce more content. Right. Mm-hmm. So the question for you out there, and I would like to hear from everyone that listens to this cast, is I have a separate idea from a Patreon. So if we were to do a Patreon, and I'm not saying we would, but if we were to do one, we of course would have different, the whole thing, right? Different tiers, you'd get extra content or whatever nonsense for each tier, and that would be fine. The other idea that I came up with is we also have been tossing around the idea of doing a storefront where you could just go up, you could buy a t-shirt, you know, we'll have Fifth Trooper gear, we'll have Legion specific gear, and as we move into other content, we'll have, you know, stuff. And I'm not talking about cheesy stuff either. I'm talking about, like, if you've seen those the card holders, the wooden card holders,
yeah,
for Legion and X-Wing, like, we would do stuff like that, and, like, you know, have our logo on it or something like that.
Oh, sure. Right? I mean, we could do alt cards.
Alt art
those
cards.
Those are fun. Like, it's, again, if you have ideas for stuff you want, like, we have our own set of things we want to do. But we are two men.
Right.
We are but two men with two brains, and the hive mind always comes up with something else. But no, it's either, do you want to per diem get things,
right,
and we will have it up there to buy, or do you want to do a monthly thing,
mm-hmm,
or they do like monthly or showly. It's
well, we would do monthly. I wouldn't because we have four shows a month. Yeah. Like, I'd rather just do monthly. So I guess what I'm saying, and I'm sorry, I want to take a step back, because I don't want you guys to think I don't appreciate it. Those of you who have reached out and are like, hey, we want to support you.
No, sure, it's super appreciated.
I'm 100%. Thank you so much. Like, super appreciate it. But that's not why we started this podcast, right? We started it because we love Legion.
Yeah.
And we love podcasts. So that's why this happened.
You know, we do it because it's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now it's great because it's free. So if you get into it and you like it, it's, man, there's a lot of podcasts I listen to that I love that are free, because it's free content for me just to consume when I'm driving to work, when I'm doing stuff. And we don't want to barrier you. We don't want to do anything like that. But it's more like, yeah, we'd like to do more stuff.
Sure.
And that's why we're doing it. So where we're caught between is, do you want us to make a store and then you can just buy what you want there?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to do a monthly thing where, depending, you know, Patreon's got tiers, like $1, just whatever. And then like maybe if you do like the $20 tier once a month, you'll get whatever it is, you know, like there's different stuff. Do you want to do it like monthly where you'll get something mm-hmm. cool, maybe probably more customized or to you or to like whatever we're talking about? Or do you want to get something off a store and just kind of get what you want? We're putting it out there as a question because we don't know. And, you know, maybe if the community thing is just like, we don't want any of that. Okay.
That's fine. Like, that's it's just, I know a number of people have asked how to support us because as they put it, sorry, excuse me. Coming off of a cold, so if I sound weird or if I'm clearing my throat a lot, I apologize. But a lot of people have asked, hey, can we support you? We want to support you. And I love that they do. It slightly makes me uncomfortable, but I'm willing if the community as a whole, if you guys out there are asking yourselves the same thing and it's something that you want to do, you know, we're willing to open it up and have that out there. And like we said, with Patreon, if we were to do that, we would have different tiers with different levels of tchotchkes and nonsense.
You know, very, very, if you've done a Patreon before.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Similar, whatever. Yeah. You know, more content, one of the things I was tossing around was like, if you were at a certain level, like we'd ship you a t-shirt or two a year, you know, stuff like that. And I think if we were going to do something like Patreon, from my own like conscience, I'd have everything like laid out in a spreadsheet and I would share that with you guys on the website. We would be very, open.
Yeah.
Our books as far as Patreon would be concerned. Now, if we were to open a store, we're not going to be as open because that's different because I'm providing, you know, we would be providing a product for you if that's what you guys want. I don't know what you guys want. And I'm not in this to take your money. That's not why I did this. It's just a number of people have reached out and I want to make sure that the community is heard. And so we're going to put this up, on the website, thefifthtrooper.com/poll. So when you guys listen to this, the polls will be up. And for your time, like I said, we'll send you a t-shirt, with Fifth Trooper t-shirt on it. We appreciate you guys listening and it just sounds like I mean it hasn't been just like one or two people, it's been a handful, like a number of people who have asked us about this, and so I just want to make sure that all our listeners are heard as a whole, and you know, you guys decide what you want to do. And if you guys, I mean, honestly on the poll, it's going to be three options. It's going to be, well, four. It's going to be Patreon, store, both, or none.
Yeah.
So if you guys think this is a bullshit idea, excuse me for the language, but if you think this is stupid, then tell us none, because I don't know that I necessarily disagree with you. So
it's I would, you know, so the way I'm looking at it is I kind of have an opposite viewpoint of Jay, is Jay's more Robin Hood in the whole thing, and I'm and again, like, to me it'd be, I would love to, so I, you know, I work my real job. And when it becomes, when I have to put time for this or my current real job, I always do my real job. Because if I get called or something like that, it has to go to that. And so there could be maybe down the road where like a week I'm not on or something of that nature, or because I have to prioritize, right? Like what pays my dog's food bill.
Right.
And I'm not looking for Patreon money to pay my dog's food bill. But what I'm looking for is like, it'd be great. Like we're talking about doing streams. We're talking about doing maybe some more, getting some more funds to do some more cool stuff, maybe travel more to these events. Like I can't go to LVO just because it's I'm going to Adepticon. I just can't afford that.
Yeah.
But that would get us to different places. Like it's not, we're not looking for it to like buy a car. We're looking for it to like, hey, you know, it's, we traveled all these places to be that voice, to hang out with you guys. Like it's part of what it is. So I know it sounds greedy when I say it like this, but it's like, I would like to be able to go and do this stuff with you folks. I'm a dude on a mild IT budget, right? Like it's just not how it is. So, but I think it'll open us more up to be able to do stuff and go places. And maybe, you know, a lot of places get these Patreon funds in and they do like, maybe sometime down the road, we'll have like a Fifth Trooper tournament.
Yeah.
We could just use that money.
I would love to do
that. Yeah. Throw it. Cause right now it'd be coming out of both our pockets.
Right.
Just straight, no sponsorship, just us saving and then doing it. And then most of these places
are lucky if you break even.
Yeah.
On most of the fan events, right? So, but that'd be great if we didn't have to just pocket everything, right?
Sure. And I just want to reiterate, I'm with Evan on this, but at the same time, if you as a collective say, no, screw you guys, we don't want to do that.
100%. If you say no, then that's just
that's fine with us. We're going to keep doing the podcast anyways.
100%. I won't, like, I won't feel bad about it. Like, I'm, it's just what, if you don't say no.
Yeah,
say
I think
no.
I think you're just being open and accountable for what, in trying to describe different ideas of why, what the funds would go towards.
Yeah.
And so if something like Patreon was what you guys voted and that's what you guys wanted to do, like I said, there'd be a spreadsheet explaining to you exactly what we've spent the funds on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be stuff like, you know, we have hosting fees and stuff for the podcast. We, you know, like Evan said, traveling, like we may not be able to make it to an event because we can't, you know, we don't have the money, or we're going to two events, you know, so different stuff like that that'll be to boost the community, that will be able to help us get in touch with you guys more with different content. And, you know, I think really, I mentioned this a while ago when we announced Notorious Scoundrels, but really, like, we have big plans for 2019 as far as expanding the Fifth Trooper network. And like I said, we have Crunch and Chaos, which is right now KeyForge game-related, but, you know, we have talked and we're in talks with people about all kinds of different content. And so, you know, we want to become, you know, your source for content creation. We've really enjoyed the feedback from the community. I mean, I love this community. Everybody's been so kind and nice. And it seems like every week I get to meet more people, whether it's in person or digitally. And I just want to make sure that your voices get heard because, I mean, really, this is your podcast too, right? So if you want to hear us talk about certain things, email us. If you want us to answer questions, email us. Like, there's lots of things that we could be doing to interact better with you. And if one of those things is that you guys want to support us through a Patreon or a store page, you know, that's going to be something we'll do as well. So that's just kind of that talk. Like I said, it's going to be thefifthtrooper.com/poll. That's where we'll put it. You guys can vote, and then we'll make a decision from there. So
sounds good.
That's where I'm at with that. Okay. So now let's talk some Legion. So I'm going to delve into Notorious Scoundrel territory here. And I'd like to start talking about strategy versus tactics, and then also synergies of units.
Okay.
All right. And this has come up, and I'm sure I've talked about this before, but I'd like to maybe take a little bit deeper of a dive into this. So what I mean, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I'll just bring it up again. I think there's two, strategy and tactics, even though they're similar words and they define similarly, right? I think they're two different things.
Sure.
Okay.
Strategy is something you plan going into.
Yep.
Tactics is something you can react with. I mean, correct. I'm sure there's way better ways to explain it, but that's just a light
right. overview. But that's how we'll look at it, right? Yeah. And so a lot of this has come up lately too, just games I've been watching is, okay, there's a turn zero strategy in Legion, okay? Understanding where your objectives are, understanding where to deploy, right? And then having a plan or a strategy overall for the game of how you're going to complete this game.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, this person, or I had a strategy from turn zero. That's why I won. Okay, great. I don't disagree with that. What I disagree with is that that's not the end all be all of the game, because you can have a turn zero strategy. You can effectively, you know, employ that turn zero strategy. But then what happens is you don't know the other player. Okay. You don't know the list of, like, in chess, there's a list of moves or a list of, like, move counter moves that can happen and all this stuff, right? This game isn't like that, okay? This game is your opponent can do some crazy stuff that you're not expecting. They can make a decision that maybe you don't see as something that fit into what you thought they were going to do, but it still affects the game overall. So that's where tactics come in. It's that if I have a strategy, let's say, to grab an objective, and I'm going to throw X number of units at it, and I see what my opponents put on the board, and let's say I see some things coming at me, and I'm like, this is how I'm going to stop them. This is what, you know. Then you have dice rolls. Then you have, you know, your players' moves. Like, maybe they don't do that. Maybe they come in at a different angle, or maybe they set you up to think they were coming in at that angle. So what I was bringing this up is, I hear a lot of what is it, the absolutes, right? Like Sith deal in absolutes, right? Yeah. So when I'm listening and like reading out there, like a lot of people deal in absolutes in this game. Like, if you don't do this, you're gonna lose. And I just I don't think that's true.
Okay.
From what I'm seeing. And I just, like, there isn't a meta right now. There's no one list that's beating all other lists. They're all over the place. Like, yeah, Luke is one of the best units in the game right now, hands down. DLTs are one of the best add-on units of the game. Okay, so there are definitive best units, right, based on production and what they cost and value and all this stuff.
Yep.
Definitely. But I don't think there's any one strategy or any one approach to the game that's better than anyone else.
So, yes, I'll agree that. So it's not other games I play where one particular, like end of X-Wing 1.0, there was just like three lists people played to a T all the time, and you just saw them. That was it. That was the boiled down to the end of the game. That was the meta. Not all the units are even out yet for this game. So to say there's a current meta of a particular list that just wins all the time is not true, because right. We don't have all the units yet.
Yes.
But it also, it can happen. This game can, man, dice can just not go with what you want them to in this game more than others, I feel sometimes. Let me back up a little bit. Muhammad Ali said, everyone's got a plan going into a fight until they get hit in the face.
Yep.
Right? So I've had games where I've moved units up and I'm like, well, they're stormtroopers. I shouldn't lose them all in one shot. Five hits, five dead stormtroopers. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, right. Now what do I do? So that's when your plan of like, well, just go and camp on it, I'll take dodge tokens, it'll be fine, turns to scramble, right? Like, yeah, yeah. This is panic time, right? So it's tactics is being able to actively adjust your battle plan, if you want to look like that, to continue the game. Like I've definitely set up before on boards and been like, wow, I've lost on setup. Right, like I just think this is going to take too long to get there.
Yeah, that happens.
I was thinking about it, but I wasn't. Right, I'm like, well, right. I think he should go here. And then when we actually started, I'm like, whoops. You know, right? Like this. Yeah. After I see everything move out, I'm like, I've made a mistake. This right. Didn't think about this at all. So it's, you know, all that stuff can build up. Like, if I prefer to have my boards set terrain and then everybody just plays on those boards more than I like to set up the board each time.
Yeah.
I feel like it's easier to get set up through a game.
Mm-hmm.
B, and if people can win or lose on the same map and both of you know walking in what's going to look like, right? But like building around that, like how am I going to attack this? What am I going to do? I agree with you too. Like do you remember when everyone said Veer's Bikes was the best thing ever? It's still there. It's still a good list. Like it's three bikes with now you can even make him give him like HQ uplink instead of long range scanner, which might be better.
Actually on TTS on the team league, somebody just played Veers, triple bikes, triple snipers.
Yikes. Like that's crazy. Like you have all those activations and stuff to do. Like that's still good. Like it's still fine. So are you saying that that's a worse list than I don't know what those darn rebels change their stuff all the time, like Chewie, Luke, and something else?
Well, yeah, and I guess, so part of this conversation is, all right, so, like, I've heard a lot of, like, when people talk about the game, they're like, okay, well, my plan from the beginning, let's say, I don't know, let's say Luke, right? Yeah. My plan from the beginning was to have Luke go grab that objective, like, this whole time. That's, I was going to hold him back, and then I was going to have him go. And then my question always is like, okay, what if Unit X shredded him? Then what was the plan?
Yeah, that's...
Because it seems like you put a lot on that.
I sure did.
You know?
That was my Vader and Boba Fett. I'm like, yeah, move him up. He'll be fine. I got surges. This guy ain't dead. Okay. Don't have a backup here. Thought that was going to last more than the turn.
Yeah, and so I guess this is me just saying, be careful. Like, what you want to do... I absolutely think you need to have a strategy from turn zero. You need to have a turn zero strategy once you see what the cards, the conditions, objectives, and battlefield cards are. you formulate your strategy. I think before that, you're formulating a strategy with your army, okay? So, like my army right now, I think is a really good, and I've said this before, is a really good everyman army. Like, I don't look at my army and go, oh, man, I don't have an answer to this. Like, yeah. I feel like I have an answer to everything. It may not be the perfect answer. It may not be the strongest answer, but it's an answer to it.
You don't
it,
feel like you're completely, like, just
correct.
Screwed.
Correct. Right, like. So there's my opening strategy. Let's build a list that feels like it can handle pretty much anything I've seen out there, okay? Then what do? All right, so I bring my list. Then I look at my objective condition battlefield cards, and I say, okay, this is what's going to be good for my list. This is what my list will like to do. And you're going to have one or two, well, three. You'll probably have three in there because there's going to be six cards, I think, that are just on the outskirts of what you're comfortable with your list. You know what I mean? Because you can pick four of each one, and then you have the fifth one that you leave out.
The deck, okay.
The decks, yeah, for the condition objective battlefield decks. So I feel like you're going to... There's three of each one, three battlefields, three conditions, and three objectives that you're going to be very comfortable with. And you're going to be like, okay, if I get any of these, I know what to do, I'm fine. Then those last two are always like, feel like a toss-up. Like, it's like, shit, do I like minefields? Or do I want clear conditions? Or do I want limited visibility? Like,
yeah, limited visibility is a real, like, either all in or all out. Like, if you've got a knife fighter list, sure.
Yeah.
Like, that gets you in. But if you've got a real long range list, I've on record played maximum firepower turn one on limited visibility, not really thinking about it. Yeah. For whatever reason, I thought it was
right.
Just wasn't. And it was like, oh, it's only range one to two. And I'm like, oh, I threw that. Okay, cool.
Well, and I would almost argue, so depending on the board state and depending on what the board looks like, I've had two snipers and E-webs on my list with limited visibility. And I liked the fact, even though that round one and two, I struggled a little bit for my range, I still liked the fact because what I found was that my opponent was placing their units into positions that once that round one and round two opened up with limited visibility, I was going to shred them. Like, they were overplaying because of limited visibility. Like, I'm fine. I'm going to go do this, you know? And so... there's that. So you're building your strategies for your list so that you can handle all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You're building your strategy with your cards so that if you are a blue player, you have a comfortable choice, right? But then you build your strategy once those choices have been made, once the battlefield's been set up with the conditions and objectives, you have an overall strategy of how you think you're going to win the game.
Yeah.
That's all great. But none of that actually wins you the game. I think that's maybe 30% of it, maybe 40. Let's call it 40%. Then there's another 30% that's tact. So now you got 70% of the game is strategy and then tactics while you're playing the game. There's still 30% of the game that I think is so out of your control that no matter how you plan for it, it could go way wrong.
Yeah, this game in particular, I don't know what it is like. There's dice variance, and then you look at averages. So every time I look at something, I'm like, what's the average I'm going to get out of this? Two hits out of four? Okay. That's
fine.
Like, that's good. Man, like, I've seen Z6s just do, like, seven hits to me, and I'm like, whoa. And
right.
I roll my red dice should be 50-50 each one, and they are not. And I'm like, whoa. You know, just like, this is an average at all.
Right.
Well, you know, so as all of my units get killed. But, it just sometimes it just happens, man. Like, it sometimes you just aren't destined to win. Like, it's just how those guys shake out.
Yeah.
Like, you can make all the right moves and still lose. That's something you just have to understand with games like these, especially with dice. If it was maybe some weird card variant for how attacks went, different. But with this game, you can make all the right positions.
Mm-hmm.
You can take all the right shots.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just have a game where it's just not your day.
Yeah. And with that, and we've talked about this before, but like, so that instance with Luke, like, okay, I'm going to have Luke go grab this box, but you need to know, you have to apply some of your resources to a backup plan as well.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, I'm going to have him grab this box, but I'm also going to have these fleet troopers, or I'm going to have this AT-RT run interference for him, or something, you know, you need some sort of backup plan with that, not just Luke being your only plan to get that objective.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring that kind of stuff up. And just kind of like always question yourself when you're planning an objective or, you know, okay, or, you know, coming up with your strategy for the game right before turn, you know, during turn zero, what's my backup plan? If this all goes bad, what do we do? And so, you know, then you, that's, you know, I think you'll be in a better position if you have a backup plan.
Sure.
It just seems like a lot. I see certain heroes that get put placed in situations where they're way out from where there's a backup plan. And I'm just concerned. Yeah, it works like 50% of the time. But like, I'm just getting concerned that we're so focused on turn zero strategy that we're not putting anything behind tactics during the game.
Well, what'll happen is it'll work once really great. It's like golf. You get that one great hit, and you're like, wow, yeah. I want to feel like this all the time. And then you do it three or four more times. It's not working again. And you're like, man, why do I play this dumb game? And then you get that one more thing. It works out again. So it's not consistent at all for you. But when it does work, it feels like a master stroke of like tactical genius.
Yep.
But overall, it's the 2 out of 8 times it worked isn't worth doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. But all right, so we'll move on. I think I want to talk about synergies next, but one thing I wanted to say was I think 2019 and what's an LVO and Adepticon and all the new units, me personally, is going to make me look stupid. And this is why I say that. As we get more units, as more stuff comes out. So for instance, this is me being stupid. When the laser cannons and the e-webs came out, I took a dump on them. I was like, these things are crap. Throw them in the garbage. Don't even use them. And, you know, that was my hot take at the time because I was like, I couldn't see the landscape. I didn't know what else was coming. Yeah. I just saw what we had at that moment, and that's how I made my call on lasers and e-webs, mm-hmm. okay? As we've gotten more units, as the lists have started to become larger, and as we see synergies, I'm changing my mind on things, which I reserve the right to do, podcast land. And one of the things, and this goes into my synergies talk, is I thought the e-webs were crap until I started playing with Palpatine.
Sure.
And the Royal Guard.
Pull of Strings was real good on them.
Yeah.
Real, real good.
Ridiculously good. And, you know, and I don't think you should use it all the time, but I think it's there, and it changes. Two things changed, really. It was Palpatine coming out, and then the change to rapid reinforcements.
Yeah, yeah. Rapid was
completely altered my view on e-webs. So for all of you listening, I will give you my list right now, and I think I gave it 2 weeks ago, but I'll just give it to you again. I'm playing Palp. He's got a Steam Leader, Anger, Push, Choke, Royal Guards with the extra dude there, the
Electro Staff
guy, and Tenacity. I have Snow Troopers with a Flame Trooper, Impact Grenades, and Emergency Stims. 3 DLTs with... Wait, do I have emergency stims on them? I don't know. But 3 stormtrooper squads with DLTs, 2 snipers, and 2 e-webs. This is my list. This is what I'm taking to LVO. I love this list. And so this is going to go into my conversation with Synergy. Palpatine and Royal Guards have a clear synergy. Right with
the free action,
yeah,
it's free to like
entourage, yeah. With entourage, okay, clearly. Then you have snow troopers because with pull the strings, you can get a move shoot out of them,
mm-hmm.
okay. So there's a couple synergies. Then you also have between the Royal Guards and the snow troopers, is if you want to get up to flame somebody, you're now licking wounds off of the snow the troopers Guardian into 2. The guards, yep. For the Guardian 2. So there's another synergy, right? And we talked about this before. You know, everybody was so high on the guards with Pelp and getting to that atomic bomb state, mm-hmm. with Pelp and, you know, getting the... I don't even know that I've ever used this with Palpatine, the Guardian 2. And I put a steam leader on him because I've been running the guards with my other units, depending on the board state, so that he can a steam leader off of some stormtroopers or something, right? So then here's another synergy. E-webs and Royal Guards. So I use the Royal Guards to pull wounds, Guardian off the E-webs. You saw me do that with you. Then the synergy with the E-webs and let's say the snowtroopers, where I'm using the E-webs for cover.
Yes, because they do give light cover, I believe.
Yeah. So stuff like that. So just trying to find all these synergies within. It's, you know, we talked about this right before because I couldn't think of the word synergy because my brain is mush. But when we play Keyforge, Magic, any of these card games, you're looking for synergies in your deck. Specifically, let's just look at Keyforge because the decks are random. You don't know what's in it until you get it. And sometimes you could play a deck 2-3 times, but you don't even see a synergy until you've played it 20 times. And then you're like, oh my God, I didn't even see this combo.
Yeah.
Same thing with lists, right? We should build units that we know will survive, units that we know will handle whatever's thrown against them. Mm-hmm. But then I think a key aspect that not a lot of people are talking about is the synergies between units. And somehow, and sometimes those are stronger than the individual unit you're putting into your list.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, so here's some other synergies, like Luke Leia are really good together because Luke goes out and punches stuff in the face while Leia is supporting the rest of the army and keeping them alive, or giving Luke support, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good synergy. Leia fleet troopers is a good synergy. You know, let's see, Chewie and Han, they look like they're going to be good synergy.
Chewie's got that like obvious synergy because he gives you a command card to play with that person.
Right. And they've set Chewie up to be kind of to play with all three of the other heroes. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it too much, so, you know, I don't have a lot to say on it, but I think there's definitely some synergies to be had in there. One of the things I was thinking about lately is, you know, I think Endless from Notorious might have said it on their last cast or on a holiday special where he said it's hard to take units that don't shoot beyond range, that don't shoot range three, like fleet troopers. They're great. But range three is really where you need to be at.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that, except for I was wondering, I was just thinking about, like, what if you took some Wookiee warriors and you ran them ahead of the fleet troopers, knowing that they're going to soak up wounds, and then had the fleet troopers come in behind them? I mean, it's a lot of points to lose, but...
I was thinking something like that with ATRTs, because they have armor, so you need to have crits to get them, and... if they count as light cover, so you can run up rebel troopers. Like, you get a dodge and you get a light cover. So if they want to shoot those troopers, who really matter more than those, because you put an ATR to the flamer, that's a target. That's a hard target. It has to go, right? You cannot get close to your troopers or else it's a really bad day in LA, right? Because they surge to crits. So it's just like, and they're all dead, right?
Yeah.
So you move a couple of those up and they have to deal with those, but they also have to deal with the fact that you're taking objectives behind them.
Yeah.
And it's harder to kill those guys in the back. So things like that, that's a you know, something like people don't really use ATRTs anymore, but I think they're great little just like walls. They just run them up and...
Yep.
Because they're what? They're like 50 points, 60 points, something pretty cheap.
Like 75, I think, after they have...
Like a gun?
A gun.
Yeah, so that's not bad. That's like a trooper with a gun, but they get to have a lot of life. And no one's running a whole lot of impact.
Nope.
So they probably won't go down, like, I mean, unless you run to my 2 ATST list, which I'm the only guy playing that, so I think you're fine.
Yeah.
With Impact 3, but you can, like, you probably won't run into any issues.
Yeah, and so, I just want to, and I think we're going to start talking about this more coming up in 2019 as more units come out, and just, I really want to start taking a hard look at unit synergies between multiple units or two units or how, or an entire army, right, of synergy. How can we make this happen? And so I'd really like to talk about that more. We'd love to hear from you guys, whatever synergies you see out there.
Yeah, if you got something, again, we are but two men. So if you've got other things you come up with, that'd be great.
Yeah, and then, you know, one of my goals, I guess we could talk about New Year's resolutions or goals. How about that for Legion?
Oof, okay.
My resolution for Legion for 2019 is to try to play Rebels more.
That's fair, you've got...
They suck, but... sorry for all you Rebel players out there. Imperial's super strong, and I love Imperial, but I feel like if I want to become a better player and I want to be a better understand the game, that I need to play the other list too. So one of my goals for 2019 is to put together a not a play Rebel list like I did at PAX with the two Airspeeders, but like a legit Rebel list and start playing that.
You know, the problem is this is one of the first games where I just didn't buy two sides. I'm like, well, to keep it cheap for myself, because I play X-Wing, I play Shadespire, I play all these other crazy games, I just can't afford to buy everything. So I'm like, well, I'll just do the Imperial. But now that the more of the Rebel stuff comes out, I'm like, I'd like to play Wookiees. You know, like, yeah. I'd like to do this. This looks like fun. But to buy into that section, because I've been buying like a box of Rebel Troopers here and there, it's right. slowly building, I would need to get like a lot. So I'm in the same boat with you on that. I'd like to try Rebels out, because Imperial is fun, but they're not as like, I like the jank, the Rebel jank, where things just work out sometimes.
Yeah, and I think it'll just make us better players in general, and I guess that's a recommendation for everyone out there too. Like, if you're hard into one list, like, I don't know, maybe swap lists with your buddy one time and just try to play as a Rebel, just because I feel like it'll give you a better opportunity to understand how Rebels play and, you know, just better overall game. I think one of my other things too for 2019, I spent a lot of 2018 playing fun lists. Mm-hmm. And we had a whole podcast, me against Nick, about having fun. And actually a couple podcasts ago, I got up on my soapbox about math and efficiency, right? And I'm still on all of that. I still want to have fun, but I'm going to try to start building more lists that I know will be competitive. And how do I fit that in to fun? So how can I do both? Can I have fun? Can I enjoy my list? But can I also be competitive? Like, I would love to build a Hoth list with an AT-ST, Snowtroopers, the E-Webs.
Oh, sure, yeah.
General Veers, and see. But I want to do it fun, but I want to do it in a way that's also competitive, that's going to win as well.
Snowtroopers have one of the best add-ons of the game and one of the worst. Actually, I think the worst add-on, the ion gun.
Yeah.
Like, that's just real bad.
And that may change. You know, that may change
Hope
in the future.
Yeah, just right now, he's just a cool piece of plastic I got in my car.
Well, it's like the Stormtroopers HH-12. Like, I know, I remember going back and forth with that, and it seemed good when everybody was playing AT-STs, AT-RTs, and stuff early on, but then as those started to wash out of the meta, I was like, these things suck.
Oof. Yeah, right.
Because it was like, you would play an AT-ST, you'd be like, HH-12s are the best, just destroy everything, and then your next match would be against somebody with no armor, and you're like, oh my god, these things were such a waste of money, like a waste of points.
Can't shoot and move them.
Right.
Shoot, gotta reload. You're just like, wow, holy cow. So you may be getting, even if they're in range every shot of the game, you're not getting quality shots with rerolls. You're just shooting, right? Let's say you have to move twice.
Yeah.
So that's two out of the six turns they're not shooting. And let's say you can't reload one turn. So it's one more turn you're not shooting. So maybe you get three out of six times to use them. Like, that's considering that's high, like, you're not playing Veers with the auto ready, like, it's just not, I don't know.
Yeah, and unless something comes out that ready stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's not good.
A little bit quicker. But you know, like I said, this is and we have the right to change our minds on stuff, just because it's like, you know, Evan and I were talking about this. This is the first year of this game, man. Like, look at everything that's happened in the first year.
Yeah.
And as, like, I think our tune's going to change in February as, like, those generic commanders and the unit leaders and stuff come out. Officers, that's the word I was looking for. Like, and then when those support droids, it's like, I mean, and then just the wording in the reference guide for some of the support stuff that they're going to have, like, I think it's going to get crazy soon. And 2019 is going to be awesome. And I just want... So part of what I was saying before about, like, strategy tactics and stuff, this is just my warning, because I just see none of us really have true answers. We're just giving you our opinions on what we're seeing in the landscape currently, right? And in a couple weeks, when the generic commander and the officers come out, that's going to change again, because they're going to change the landscape again.
I honestly think that box will be the most... the most game-changing expansion to the game.
Agreed.
The both for both sides. The two rebel commit with the extra units. Like,
agreed.
There's gonna be a couple duds in there. Like, I don't know if the rebel girl, the one that adds the comm specialist to a unit. I don't know how much that there's gonna be a couple duds in each. But I think like the extra commanders, more command cards, units that possibly repair or heal people.
Yeah.
I feel like those are gonna be the biggest.
Well, and what we've seen right now on TTS, officers completely change units. They give
inspire.
Them,
yeah, inspires alone is just real great,
and they give them a higher threshold before panic. Like,
yeah,
dude. So I think I'm really excited. I think this year is going to be an amazing year for Legion. I'm really excited.
We're more than likely getting the two new factions this year, I believe. I think that's when it was like hinted.
I would take bets on that right now that's going to happen at Gen Con.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe they might announce, you'll probably get the article before, but they might release at Gen Con.
That's what I meant. Yeah. You'll hear about it way before, but I think release will be at Gen Con.
I think that's too big a thing just to drop the bomb.
Or they'll come, they love announcing things at Gen Con.
Yeah.
It's love it.
So if they do, that'd be the time, but that's, I hope they at least drop an article or at least like a something.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll walk my statement back a little bit. This just popped into my head. Bear with me here.
Bearing.
They're going to clone droids. Will come out, let's say, March, April.
Okay.
Gen Con, they're going to announce First Order Resistance.
Okay.
Because look at year one.
Yeah.
They announced clone troopers, droids at, was it Gen Con or it was right around, or Fantasy Flights,
their whatever. Big thing is like unity between all their games.
Yeah, it was between August and November, right? So
I imagine you seeing that. That sounds
so cool. I would bet April, May, you'll see a release of the clone troopers battle droids, the core box. Then in August through November, they'll announce First Order because it's inevitable. Because
that third movie's coming out next year, right?
Yeah, next December.
Yeah, so we'll have the movie to go. I mean, if you're a marketing guy, that's...
It's brilliant.
Right, you put it on the shelf and then you're like... That's what they did with the second starter kit for X-Wing was when Force Awakens came out. There was a T-70 FO.
Right.
Right, list that... Wow, this looks cool, right?
And I think six factions would be really sweet.
It's just so, again, like the game, the factions are different, but they're not that different.
Right now.
Yeah, but what I mean, like to add another one in, you don't have to change a whole lot for me to be excited for it.
Sure.
Right? Like, because I mean, Stormtroopers, Clone Troopers, and then FO Troopers, I don't really care if they're the same core units. It's just the extra units that I'm more, like, they can just be precise one guys in armor. Whatever. Like,
well, and they can, and they can change their keywords. Like, you could say clone troopers are better trained, so they're going to be able to shoot. Then you could say FO maybe have more courage because they're
fanatical.
Right.
That's the X-Wing thing for them is fanatical. So, like, maybe they have a higher run.
Yep.
They have like a 3 courage or something because they just don't run, right? They just go until they die.
Yep.
Except for Finn.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, like, they don't have to change a lot of the core mechanics to make a new thing feel good. So I feel like, you know, everyone's always like, well, you can't have balance in all these factions. I'm like, well, you can't, but that's kind of like the point almost. So Alex Davey, the guy, one of the lead designers of X-Wing at Nova, he did this. I don't know why more people weren't there, but it was I'm going to throw some X-Wing names out. But it was Dion from Gold Squadron who runs his podcast. It was Duncan Howard, one of the better players. Paul Heaver, one of the world champions. Alex Davey. And then two other guys, I didn't know who they were, but they did like a round circle and he was just going a retrospective over end of X-Wing 1.0 into X-Wing 2.0. And it was just like really super candid. Just like ask AMA, right? Ask me anything you want. You know, so people are there like, what were you thinking with this upgrade? It's like, oh, we weren't, you know, we were working on X-Wing 2.0.
Yeah.
Two years before the end of this. And sometimes there's only like four of us working on all of this. So things just slip through the cracks, right? Like,
yeah.
And so we were, you know, it was really nice just to get that straight. Like how Rare for Sea of Thieves does every week we put out a developer update. You know, there's a problem. They talk about it like, hey, you know, we had an issue with the server. This is what happened. And they don't do that corporate like blanket of like, we know there's an issue. We'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right. And it's easier to catch this stuff. Like, so card games, right? Magic has ban list. Then Keyforge is doing that thing with the chains, where once your deck starts winning or once you have a strong deck, they're going to add a bunch of chains onto your deck so that you can't, you get handicapped so that you're more even with everybody. And so I think what's going to happen is, it's not going to happen yet, but once they get the third set of factions, so if they get six factions out, then they're going to start looking at the game as a whole And then they'll say, all right, this is banned. This is banned. Like,
yeah, sure.
Right.
Where I was going on that too is he said, you know, like someone brought up balancing factions when there's seven X-Wing factions. It was, you know, Rebels, Imperial, Scum, First Order, Resistance, Grand Republic, and Separatists. That's seven armies, more or less. He's like, well, you know, like, what about the meta? You know, like the people always, because 1.0 was just super toxic near the end. And he's like, so, okay, what if one list is the best out of all each faction? That's still seven lists instead of the two you were seeing
right
back in the other room. And not all of them are going to be equally good. And there's some pride. Like, I'm an underdog guy. I always, besides, like, I'd be playing Rebels if I really looked into it more.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I just like, yeah, Stormtroopers, okay, I'm in. But he's like, there's going to be, people are going to take those worst factions. Let's say Rebels just happens to be the worst out of the but they're going to have the best list for Rebels. And yep. There's going to be some pride going in with, like, the best list of the worst faction
yep.
and winning. Right? So he's like, does it really a problem if there's seven meta lists out compared to, like, the two that everyone's
yeah,
seeing
no,
now?
I agree.
And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. He's like, well, what if we did something, again, this, he was just talking very, like, the FFG guy was there just, like, over him, like, writing everything down, you know, like, he can't say this, but he was like, you know, what if, you know, we start doing different story stuff, like, maybe, you know, you win, let's say you win with Rebels, and you get Rebel templates for winning, and it's not just a generic template, or you get cool new, like, range templates for Empire, like, Empire-themed range templates that only you got because you won with
right.
Rebels, and so, or Empire, you know, like, cool stuff like that, and I'm like, wow, that's a good point. That's a lot of fun. So even if the game's not super, let's say the game just gets a little wonky, because games do, like, every game gets a little wonky, it just
yeah
happens, but man, there's that one guy who plays Empire and they're considered the worst right now, and he wins with it, right? Like, it's, there's, you got to champion your faction, and even if they're not balanced, there'll still be good stuff in there, and you can win if you play right, you know.
Agreed.
I think that's, I'm excited for it. The more, you know, everyone's like, don't add too many two fists. I'm like, just add them all. Let's see what happens. Like, let the Royal Rumble happen.
Agree.
And again, like, yeah, things will be like, maybe Rebels really are bad, like, in the grand scheme, and maybe they are the bottom. But there's going to be a guy playing a Rebel list with Luke, and you're going to see him come. You're going to be like,
sure.
Oh, crap.
And, like, you would right? see, you know, and you can argue out there, like, Nova, Gen Con, and, you know, they all had. PAX second yeah. place was Rebels, like, the first place at Gen Con and Nova were Rebel lists. Like, they're good. I think now that we're seeing the list really get built out right now, today,
yeah.
okay, whenever this podcast comes out, the 2nd, January 2nd, Rebels are a little bit behind Empire
even if they're not statistically, it feels that way.
Yes.
It just feels that
sure.
way.
Sure, like, and I think Jyn and the Pathfinders are going to change yeah, that, but then 100%. Krennic and the Death Troopers might round it back out. But right now, as of today,
yep.
and this is going to change in weeks to sure. come, they're a little bit behind the Imperials, and that's okay. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to 2019.
I lose to Rebels all the time. You know, even though they're...
Right.
Statistically, they're not. Like, I lose to them yeah, just much.
It happens.
I don't win a lot to begin
right,
with,
it depends on the player. It depends on the...
Yeah, like, yeah. it's so... You know, funny, we're talking about New Year's resolutions for Legion. Mine is, I'd love to play a list with an AT-ST that I don't feel like it's a big hot piece of garbage that I actually get to use. And then, like, because I bought two, I'm using two. Because, yeah. you know, I spent my American dollars, my freedom dollars that I worked on my job to get, and I'm going to play the darn things.
Yeah.
But, like, I want, as new list I'm going to try, I want to play, put one out where I don't feel like it's, like, a variance monster that I can just use it like anything. Like, I can use, like, Stormtroopers or Rebel Troopers you can use, and you don't really think about it. You need them, yeah. but because they're such a big thing, they're a points investment, and they're large on the table, and when they don't perform well for you, you're just like, man, you son of a gun.
You know, yeah,
like,
you suck.
You're
man.
Going
yeah.
in the back of the car on the way home. Yeah. Vader's riding in the front. You lost the, you know. But I think I'm going to try to just keep working an AT-ST in there. I don't care how good or bad they are. I just always will play one. I just like how big they are.
Yep.
I want to kick. Oh, next goal. Kick a unit to death. My goal is to kick like a Vader or somebody.
Because
he's got he's got two big red feet. Four dice there. You can go.
Yeah.
I want to kick a hero to death.
That's a really good. I like that. That's a good New Year's resolution.
Because even if I do it once, set that bar real low, man. It feels good to hit it. Like,
All right, well, that's going to wrap up this episode. So this will be the first episode in the new year. So let's make 2019 great, everybody.
Before we go.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the UFC fight?
I'm wrapping this up.
I know. Just real quick.
UFC fight.
Last night, 235, was it?
That sounds right. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, so the women? Ugh.
Dude, crazy.
That was a great match.
People are screaming at Buffalo Wild Wing, man. They were going nuts. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, well, and like you said, it was really good to see her lose.
Yeah.
Right.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
Hall, that was the first time BJ Penn has ever been submitted in his history. And it happened in the first round in like 45 seconds.
Oh my God.
Right? Like it was a heel hook. I hate heel hooks in any sport I do. Well, mixed martial arts, because they hurt and people don't know what they're doing. So, but heel hook got him. But that was crazy, right? BJ Penn. Yeah. He's a big,
I know,
big guy.
Well, we were talking about that. They don't have a lot going on. So it's like these fights are just.
Jones will be around until someone more charismatic than Jones comes.
Right.
Right.
They had Connor for a while, but then he's kind of dumped out, you know, after going crazy and everything after the Mayweather fight and just kind of.
Yeah, he's holding two belts still, I think. Right. And when's the last time he really defended him? Same thing with Cormier just vacated a belt, the light heavyweight.
He's like,
you guys can have it back. I don't want it. So that belt's been vacated.
Yeah, is St. Paul, is he coming back?
St. Pierre,
sorry,
He was supposed to have a super fight with Silva, I think, and that was exciting. And I think Silva was talking about, like, after he fights...
St. Paul, I don't know why he said
St. Paul, hey, it's St. something.
Georgia St. Pierre.
Silva said, like, after this, he's probably done.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants one more fight with, you know, because St. Pierre was, love him or hate him, he left the title on his own terms. He's like... I've won so much. I'm just, my body's messed up from fighting so long. I'm just leaving because I don't want it. No one beat him, right? He just left.
Yeah.
And for him to come back for like a super fight with the other guy who was once at one time considered the GOAT, I think it would be real crazy.
Yeah.
But,
well, there you go, everybody. Legion, Keyforge, and UFC today.
Figured I'd throw at the end. So if you wanted to dump out,
yeah,
you could dump out and then not.
Oh, no, this is all staying in.
So,
No.
Well, I mean, the listener can see they're gone.
Just keep listening out there. You listen to everything we say. All right. You good now? You got that out?
I'm good, yeah.
All right. All right, everybody. Looking forward to 2019. Thanks for listening. And, once again, go up to thefifthtrooper.com/poll and check out the polls we'll put up and let us know what you think. Goodbye, everyone.
Stay rad.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.